the heart of Mount Olympus, where the gods governed the realms below, Zeus, the king of the Olympian deities, watched with growing dismay the path that mankind had chosen. The earth, once a paradise brimming with innocence and virtue, had become tainted by the dark shadows of violence, greed, and arrogance. Mortals had strayed far from the path of righteousness, and their actions had ignited the flames of Zeus's wrath. With each passing day, Zeus observed the relentless cycle of wars, betrayal, and disregard for the sacred bonds that held societies together. His divine gaze saw through the deceitful games played by mortals, and his heart grew heavy with sorrow. He had bestowed upon humanity the gift of free will, the power to shape their destinies, and yet they had twisted it into a tool of destruction. But it was not just the widespread chaos that had ignited the fires of Zeus's anger. There was one act that had pushed him to the brink of fury, an act that embodied the very essence of hubris and defilement. It was the despicable actions of Lycaon, a king known for his cruelty and arrogance, that had intensified Zeus's rage to an unimaginable degree. Lycaon, consumed by his own pride and audacity, had dared to commit heinous acts against the gods themselves. He had defiled their sacred spaces and cast aside the bonds of hospitality that had held the mortal and divine realms together. His heart, once human, had become a vessel for darkness and malevolence. And it was this darkness that had ignited a spark within Zeus, a spark that would soon unleash a torrent of cleansing waters upon the world. But the flood was not a decision made in haste. Zeus pondered the fate of mankind, weighing their virtues against their vices, their potential for redemption against their unrelenting transgressions. Similar to Pandora's box being a punishment to mankind for the actions of Prometheus, the flood was a punishment that affected the masses for the actions of a few. He grieved for the innocent souls who had been caught in the crossfire of human folly. Yet the time had come for action, for a reckoning that would serve as both a punishment and a chance for renewal. Zeus, with his thunderous voice that echoed through the heavens, declared his intentions to his fellow gods. He would unleash a flood upon the world, a flood that would wash away the sins of mankind and allow for a fresh start. The very earth would be cleansed, and from its rebirth, perhaps a new era of wisdom and harmony would emerge. However, something happened that Zeus did not see coming. Prometheus, despite still being chained to endure his punishment, still possessed a unique gift. His gift of foresight was far beyond that of mortals, and could only be compared to that of Themis and the Moirai themselves. As he gazed upon the ever-changing currents of fate, he witnessed the rise and fall of civilizations, the ebb and flow of human nature, and the balance between hubris and humility. His understanding of the cosmos extended beyond the ordinary, his mind a vessel for the secrets of the universe. It was through this celestial gaze that he first caught wind of the storm that was brewing in the realm of the gods, a storm that would soon cascade down to the mortal world, reshaping its landscape and testing the limits of human resilience. The whispers of prophecy and fate reached Prometheus through the ethereal winds that carried the stories of gods and men. They spoke of Zeus's growing discontent, his anger at the arrogance of mankind, and his desire to cleanse the world of its impurities. These tidings bore heavy upon Prometheus's heart, for he knew the potential devastation that Zeus's fury could unleash. As destiny unfolded before him, Prometheus's heart swelled with a mixture of concern and determination. He had long been an ally of mankind, their protector against the whims of the gods. And now, as he saw the threads of fate converge toward a torrential climax, he understood that the survival of humanity hung in the balance. And so, with a heavy heart burdened by the weight of impending doom, Prometheus forged a plan that involved the survival of a chosen pair who would bear the seeds of humanity's rebirth. Deucalion and Pyrrha, their names etched into the cosmic fabric, were destined to weather the storm and guide humanity through the trials that lay ahead. Deucalion was no ordinary mortal. He was the son of the Titan Prometheus and the Oceanid nymph Clymene. Deucalion was not just a name, it was a testament to his lineage, a legacy that spoke of defiance, creation, and survival. He inherited his father's ingenuity and his mother's ethereal beauty, a combination that marked him as a unique presence in the world of gods and mortals. Physically, Deucalion stood tall and resolute, his form a reflection of both strength and grace. His eyes held the wisdom of ages, having witnessed the rise and fall of civilizations and the whims of the capricious gods. His hair, like threads of midnight, cascaded down his shoulders, a stark contrast to his skin, which seemed to hold the very essence of the earth itself. But Deucalion's true strength lay not just in his physical attributes, but in the depths of his character. He was a man of introspection, a thinker who pondered the mysteries of the cosmos and the ways of the divine. His father, Prometheus, had imparted to him the gift of knowledge and the art of survival, a legacy that Deucalion carried with both pride and responsibility. Pyrrha was a figure whose life was woven with courage, love, and the indomitable spirit that defied even the whims of the gods themselves. Pyrrha was more than just a name, it was a melody that resonated with strength and resilience. Born to the Titan Epimetheus and Pandora, the first woman, she inherited the legacy of their lineage, both the blessings and the burdens. Epimetheus, the brother of Prometheus, was known for his affinity with hindsight, a trait that could prove both a blessing and a curse. Pandora, on the other hand, was the woman whose curiosity led to the release of evils into the world, yet her spirit was not defined by her mistakes. From her very first breath, Pyrrha embodied a paradox, a lineage entwined with both the mistakes of the past and the potential for redemption. Her beauty was not just skin deep, it radiated from the depths of her being, a reflection of her inner strength and the grace that flowed through her veins. Her eyes held a glimmer of ancient wisdom, as if they had glimpsed the secrets of the universe, while her hair cascaded down her shoulders like waves of gold, a crown befitting a goddess. Yet, Pyrrha's true beauty transcended her physical form. She possessed a heart that beat with unwavering determination, a spirit that refused to be shackled by the chains of fate. Her upbringing had taught her the importance of resilience and the power of love. She was raised in a world where the echoes of Prometheus's defiance and Pandora's curiosity reverberated, and she learned to navigate the intricacies of life with a blend of caution and curiosity. But Pyrrha's journey truly began when her path intertwined with that of Deucalion, a man whose lineage was equally steeped in the myths of old. Though they were cousins, their love was that of a romantic tale, a partnership that forged in the fires of adversity. It was a fusion of kindred spirits who found solace and strength in each other's presence. In the face of impending doom, Deucalion and Pyrrha's love stood as a beacon of hope, a light that would guide them through the darkness that lay ahead. Though Prometheus could not physically leave his prison, his celestial powers allowed him to locate the two mortals. He whispered through the cosmos, directly to their hearts, about the knowledge of the impending flood, the knowledge of constructing an ark, a vessel that would carry them through the tempest and allow the seeds of humanity to endure, and the importance of seeking out Themis to uncover the riddles that would lead to their salvation. Without hesitation, Deucalion and Pyrrha, with their soul invigorated, set out to construct the ark, determined to survive this apocalyptic event. Their hands worked tirelessly, building a vessel that would become a symbol of hope in a world swallowed by despair. As the floodwaters were unleashed by Zeus and threatened to erase humanity from existence, Pyrrha's courage shone brightly. She stood by Deucalion's side, ready to live up to their divine destiny. The floodwaters surged forth, their powerful current sweeping across the land. Mighty rivers overflowed their banks, and the seas rose with an unstoppable force. Mountains that once stood tall were swallowed by the deluge, and many cities that had once teemed with life now lay submerged beneath the waves. Amidst the chaos, as the world trembled, few souls managed to find refuge, and even fewer managed to survive. Atop their ark, crafted with care and divine guidance, Deucalion, a noble and righteous man, and his wife Pyrrha, a woman of virtue, embraced one another as they rode the tumultuous waves. The waters were strong as they thrashed the ark in every direction. Together they weathered the storm, their fate tied to the survival of humanity. As the floodwaters receded and the land emerged anew, Deucalion's unwavering spirit continued to shine. He and Pyrrha stepped onto the barren soil, faced with the daunting task of rebuilding a shattered world. The once thriving cities were now reduced to ruins, the echoes of past lives silenced by the flood's embrace. With the knowledge bestowed upon them by Prometheus and being filled with a mix of sorrow and determination, the couple began their search for Themis. In their search for answers and direction, they turned to the wisdom of the divine. As they wandered the earth, they journeyed to the Oracle of Themis, a place where the boundary between the mortal and divine realms blurred. It was a sacred shrine where people sought guidance, wisdom, and prophecies from Themis, the titan of divine law. It was a beacon of hope in a world still reeling from the cataclysm. With hearts heavy from the weight of the flood's aftermath, they approached the goddess with reverence, seeking guidance on how to restore the world and people it with new life. Themis, renowned for her ability to foresee the future and her role as a divine figure for justice and order, appeared before them. With her ethereal presence and eyes that held the wisdom of ages, listened to their pleas. She understood the pain and uncertainty that gripped their hearts. In response, she imparted to them a cryptic but profound instruction. She told the pair to cast the bones of their mother behind their shoulders. This enigmatic guidance held the key to the renewal of humanity and the rebirth of the world. Puzzled yet determined, Deucalion and Pyrrha contemplated the words of the oracle. And as they pondered the meaning behind Themis's directive, a realization dawned upon them. The bones of their mother symbolized the stones of the earth, the very foundation upon which the world was built, and by casting these stones behind their shoulders, they would honor the earth itself, invoking the natural forces that could bring forth new life. With a newfound sense of purpose and hope, Deucalion and Pyrrha embarked on a sacred mission. They gathered stones from the earth and, with deep reverence, cast them behind their shoulders as instructed. To their astonishment and wonder, with the earth's embrace, the stones they casted began to transform. The earth itself gave birth to a new generation, untainted by the sins of the past. From the stones casted by Deucalion, men emerged, and the stones casted by Pyrrha, women were born anew, symbolizing the world's enduring resilience. The miracle that unfolded before them marked the beginning of a fresh era. Deucalion and Pyrrha, through their faith and connection to the divine wisdom of Themis, had played a pivotal role in the restoration of humanity. The flood had served its purpose, cleansing the world of its corruption and offering a chance for redemption. The survivors, led by Deucalion and Pyrrha, embarked on a journey to rebuild their lives, guided by the lessons of the past and the hope for a brighter future. And as the sun's rays pierced through the clouds, casting a golden glow upon the rejuvenated earth, the world itself seemed to breathe a sigh of relief, as if embracing the dawn of a new era, a dawn that had emerged from the depths of a watery abyss. And so, the story of the flood caused by Zeus became a cautionary tale, a reminder of the consequences of arrogance and the boundless power of divine justice. It was a tale of destruction and renewal, of the delicate balance between humanity's potential for good and the darkness that lurked within. Through the flood, Zeus had delivered his message, leaving an indelible mark upon the fabric of existence, a mark that would be carried through the annals of time, a reminder that even the mightiest of mortals could not escape the gaze of the gods.